podcast from AusCert's 2009 conference is brought to you by Microsoft. For full risky business coverage of AusCert, point your browser to risky.biz.
Hello everyone and welcome to Risky Business 2. In this recorded AusCert presentation, you'll hear Forward Discovery's Steve Whalen discussing forensic techniques for the iPhone. This is very niche stuff, mostly of interest to forensics guys and gals I know. But that said, a lot of security people do use iPhones, so Steve's talk may be interesting to anyone who wants to know how someone would go about forensically examining their own device. So here's Steve's talk. I hope you enjoy it.
One of my specialties is in Macintosh forensics, and a part of that is doing iPhone forensics I like to play with as well. And I want to cover some of that information today. Okay, the iPhone itself is based on Mac OS X. It's the same operating system that you find on your Macintoshes that you're using at home or that you're carrying around with you right now. The contents that you put onto the phone or what you actually place there are mostly synced through an application called iTunes, which I'm sure everybody's familiar with. Apple likes to have all their applications or devices sync through iTunes to manage its data. You can enter your own information on the phone. When you connect it to the computer, it's also synced. Right now, I'll just tell you, there's no forensically sound way to image an Apple iPhone or an iPod Touch without assistance from Apple. Okay? There is no forensic way. I know there's been books published and papers published. It's manipulating the file system, and the purpose of forensics is not to do any changes. Now, I'm not saying that's a good method if you're allowed to change data within your agency or your system or a corporation, but there is no forensically sound method of doing an iPhone examination. So what is your next best step? How do you actually get data off the phone? I mean, potentially there's thousands of evidentiary value data that's on that phone, so how do you get it? Well, what I'm going to tell you today is that you have to look at the type of phone that you have and basically find a way to leave the lightest footprint and without damaging or without manipulating the phone. Okay, let's just go over the technical specs of the different phones. There's two out there that's right now. The original iPhone is, like I said, most of you guys have it here. The original iPhone is just a little bit different from the new iPhones. The original iPhone has 2.5G networking, and it is minus or absent of assisted GPS, which is pretty much the only two differences between the original and the new iPhones. Pretty much the same, different case design. Now, the interesting thing that you need to know is that there are different levels of memory structures on the iPhone. And the areas, there's an area for the kernel, there's an area for user data, and there's an area for other system information. The some areas of the phones are specifically locked out for user storage, okay? And it's basically a very protective file system. And that's where we run into some trouble. What you're going to find is that there's basically two types of iPhones that you'll receive or that we get in the lab. And one's going to be an out-of-the-box iPhone, and the other one's going to be a jailbroken iPhone. And I'm sure you're all familiar with that. Probably most of your phones in this room right now are jailbroken. So that you can use it on any type of network. I have two types of phones here. One is the one I use with my network back in the U.S., and the one is the one I carry around when I travel around the world. You can drop any SIM in it, and it's jailbroken. It works really nice. There's different reasons for jailbreaking a phone that users have found. One is that you can add applications that you can't get through Apple. Different types of things that Apple just won't allow, just different apps, and they're very good. One of them that's been really popular back in the U.S. is a tethering application that allows you to actually tether your iPhone to the data network so you don't have to pay extra fees to get an air card or something so you can access Wi-Fi on your computer. You can tether your iPhone to your laptop and get information that way. Okay, as I mentioned before, there's no forensically sound way to analyze an iPhone to get the information. Without modifying the file system. Now, there are some utilities that are out there that you may have seen, commercial applications, that allow you to retrieve some data off of a phone that has been locked, that is, has been unchanged. That's not going to get everything. It's only going to get something. But sometimes something is better than nothing. What you can also resort to, and we do this typically a lot in law enforcement, is if you just can't find a way to extract the data off the phone, we manually navigate through the data and record it with either pictures or video, and that seems to leave the lightest footprint. Some people say, well, hey, you're a tech god or something. Why are you, stooping to such low levels to get your information? Well, there's actually a good reason for that. When you're trying to present something to a jury or to a client, it's much nicer to show them actually how the phone is displaying data. If you're trying to pull the information off the phone, reinterpret it, and put it into a report, it's not going to look the same as if they're actually scrolling through the phone itself. So sometimes, even if I am capable of retrieving information from the phone, I will also record and videotape manually going through the file system itself, so you can actually see what it looked like to the user. There is a benefit to that. So by documenting and taking pictures and notes, sometimes that's a really good method of just documenting what's there. Now, it's not the only method. Now, with the iPhone, the whole purpose of the iPhone and iTunes is to actually mirror the data and sync the data together. If an iPhone has been synced with a computer, if you have connected it to a computer at one point, run it through iTunes, it's going to sync. Okay, by default, it's going to sync unless you turn it off. Syncing that data, or that sync that occurs, will actually leave a lot of information on the computer itself. This is one of the areas where we go and look for data, is the information that has been synced with the computer. And we're going to go into that today. We're going to show you little examples of what you can get from a sync. Okay? If you're going to use this method, there is a method that you can actually use if you have a phone, and you don't have the computer. You can actually take that phone and you yourself can sync it with a clean account and actually get that same information. You can force the phone to back up using iTunes, and then you can extract information off the data that has been synced to it, which is the same that's on the phone. Okay. Now, in order to add, for a user to add content or to add information, okay, you connect it to iTunes and you're going to see something similar to this. This is going to allow you, with the tabs across the top, it's going to allow you to go ahead and add information or choose what you want to sync. You can manage what is being, information that's being left on here. Some of the information that you can do, that you can actually sync, is going to be your music, your photos, ringtones, contacts and calendar, applications now, your podcast videos. Okay. Non-sanctioned third-party applications can actually, these are ones with phones that have been jailbroken, can access some of the user area which has been locked out by Apple if you have a jailbroken iPhone. Ones that are not jailbroken, you're not going to be able to easily access that area of the iPhone, the user storage. The applications that have been sanctioned by Apple now are really, have extremely outnumbered the ones that have been non-sanctioned. There's by a great amount, the 35,000 plus and counting. And it's amazing the information that you're going to find with those applications. Those type of applications that exist, just today I was looking through, you have database applications, you have password applications, you have, contact, different type of contact stuff. Any type of information that may be useful for collecting information or might be useful for your investigation is going to be enhanced by the amount of applications that people download and the information that they enter into those applications. So it's endless. All those applications get stored, and all the data that gets stored in those applications remain on the iPhone, and you can extract that data. Okay? I talked about that the iPhone syncs when you connect it to iTunes. When you connect it to iTunes, what happens is the data that's actually contained on the iPhone gets stored onto the hard drive of the computer that it's synced with. In an Apple file system, it gets synced here under the user's library, application support, mobile sync, backup folder. What you're going to have then is a unique identifier, which is going to be given for each phone that you sync, or each iPod touch for that matter, that you sync to the computer. Inside there are going to be files with the extension MD backup. Okay, that's changed a little bit, and I'll explain that in a minute here. These are basically plist files. You guys familiar with plist? They're very similar to, well, they're XML. There's two types of plist files. You have your binary, and then you have your standard plist files. Okay, the other type of files that iPhone extensively uses is SQLite databases. So you have two types of files mostly within these backups. You're going to have plists, and you're going to have SQLite databases. And each one of those can be picked apart to extract information. And they're going to look similar to what you see up here on the screen. Now, in a new version of iTunes that just came out, iTunes 8.1, this just came out recently. When that update occurred, it changed the structure slightly of these backup files. The new backup files changed from MD backup to MD data and MD info, but they're still stored in the same location and they still contain the same information. It's just that the extensions changed. You find that Apple does this quite often. Okay, what kind of information can you actually recover from an iPhone? I mean, what is in there that is of evidentiary value to us, either as a corporate investigator or as law enforcement investigator? Well, a lot of things, depending on the type of investigation that you're doing. But you're going to have Safari history. As you know, the iPhone contains a full browser, Safari browser, internet browser. You can get the history, the bookmarks. You can get photos that were taken with the iPhone. And if I can have time, I'll do a demonstration of what kind of information you can get off of there. You have the ones that have synced from the actual, like, iPhoto itself, the application on Apple's operating system. You can have those photos synced on there, the ones that you take with the phone. SMS messages, which could be really important when you're doing investigations. Calendar events, notes that are added. Address book entries are all your contact stuff. Call history. Okay. Cookies from where sites you went to. Google Map history, which is really good if you're trying to determine where persons have been or where they're going to. Or what they're looking for. Email accounts, you get email account information. You can also get YouTube information, like what videos they're watching, stuff like that, if you're interested in that. Okay. Now, processing these MD backup files that you actually find on the computer or that you have chosen to, if you've taken a phone and actually synced it to a new account to generate these backup files, what kind of information can you get and what can you use to do it? There are some commercial applications, some are donationware, some are shareware, some are freeware, that you can use. Two of the most popular ones that have been used is one is called Mobile Sync Browser. What that'll do is once you have the information that's synced to the computer, it'll go into those files, into those folders, and parse those plists and parse those SQLite databases and provide you with something, a display that's kind of similar to what you would see on an Apple iPhone itself. So these are a little picture of what you would kind of see here. The information that you can get after it's extracted is the SMS data, the notes, the call history, and the contacts. You're going to get all that information. Okay, you can actually go to that website and download it and do it. And if you have an iPhone and you're interested in forensics, download these applications and just try them out yourself, and you'll see it's amazing what you'll find the last time you synced your phone. Okay? Information that's been deleted off your system for a while, off your actual device, will still remain on your computer, and it's like taking a trip back in time. It's pretty interesting. There's another one that's out there. It's called iPhone Backup Extractor. It'll also go into your backup files that are remaining on your system and parse that information. And it'll place it into a folder on your desktop that you can actually peruse through yourself at your leisure to extract that information. And I'm going to go into some of these and show you examples of the kind of information and what it looks like once you find it in a minute. Okay, what do you do with jailbroken phones and what does it mean? Actually, processing a jailbroken phone is a lot easier than processing a phone that's out of the box or one that's never been jailbroken. The reason it's easier is because it's already been opened for you. Okay, it's given you access. So if a phone has been jailbroken, the person has already given you access to the full file system. It's very easy to access all of the data on the system if the phone is already jailbroken. So the work is done for you. Some of the different applications that are out there that are used to jailbreak phones I'm sure you guys are quite aware of this. QuickPwn, Yellow Snow, Poundage, and iLiberty. Some of these are becoming harder to find or non-supported anymore. The most popular one I've seen that's out there now is QuickPwn and Poundage. Okay. But again, these are really simple to use. It's just a few clicks, and it does all the work for you. And you can jailbreak your phone and have access to the entire file system. Okay, what do you see once you're inside the phone, a jailbroken phone? Well, if you have access to a phone that's jailbroken, what you can use is different applications to either graphically view the contents of the phone, or you can do it from the command line. Also, if a phone is jailbroken, many times an SSH client or an SFTP client is going to be installed on the phone for you. You can utilize those applications to copy out the entire file system, which is something that we typically do. When we have a system that comes in, whether it's a computer, a phone, or whatever, any type of device, what we want to do is try to make an exact image of that device. And we check it by using hashes. So we hash the original, and then we hash the image that we make. And then we work off of the image. Well, having an iPhone that's jailbroken allows us to actually access the entire file system, and we can DD that using a disk dump or a data dump, pull that information off into our own image file, then work off of that image file. So how do you identify a phone that's been jailbroken and one that's not? Usually you can identify it. It's getting harder nowadays, but you can identify it by looking for a couple applications that are on the desktop or on the actual screen itself. One of them that you're going to see, or actually two of them you're going to see, one's called Installer, which is the blue one that's up there in the upper left-hand corner. There's another one called Kydia, which is down at the bottom. It's the brown one. Those are applications that you're not going to find on an unjailbroken iPhone. Those are specifically for iPhones that have been broken. Once the iPhones are broken, I was telling you, you can find some non-sanctioned applications on there. You can just identify these manually, or just if you're familiar with the type of applications that are available to Apple and ones that are available to a jailbroken phone. And some of these that you can see is like Video Recorder. That doesn't exist on the iPhone yet as a sanctioned application. Actually, it works really well, but it doesn't exist yet. PDANet is the applications used to tether an iPhone to a data network or cellular network to access internet. Terminal. You're not going to find a terminal application, or I haven't seen one yet, on the Apple Store. So you're going to see a couple different files that you're you're not going to see from the Apple Store. So that's one of the ways you can identify. There used to be a difference. You can actually look at it and tell. It's hard to tell anymore because there's so many new applications that are coming out from Apple, and that it's hard to tell which ones are legitimate and not. When you boot a system, an iPhone that's been jailbroken, sometimes the actual boot icon's been changed. You don't have to have that anymore. That's an option now. If you want to, you can leave it the way it was originally with the Apple logo, or you can change it to anything you want. What are some of the files that you're going to see once you get into the system, or you're looking in the backup files? These are some of the files that you're going to see that might be of interest. As you can see, you have a callhistory.db. That's the call history database. That's every call that you've made on your iPhone. You're going to be able to recover that, parse that information out, and look at it. The address book is the contact stuff, the images that are associated with the address book. Again, like your cookies for your browsing, different mail account for your messages. Okay, this is only going to be on a jailbroken iPhone. Unfortunately, you're not going to be able to get emails off of a phone that's still locked. If you're still without jailbreaking the iPhone, you're not going to get that information. You're not going to get information that's in free space. And you're not going to get voicemail messages, which have been downloaded to the phone. And those are some good items of interest, but you're not going to get those unless the phone's been jailbroken or accessed. You can get the history for maps, for actually locations, and that's an actually really interesting one for us. If you're trying to determine if somebody's been at a location at a particular time or navigated to a different location. And believe me, from my past experiences, it's when criminals become smart is that you are going to run into problems. But, I mean, some of the best investigations I've solved through working in law enforcement has because of a phone. And actually, I've used the iPhone as well. I processed those and got information which has solved cases. I mean, we have guys that are so smart that they will go break into a establishment, steal the money, and take pictures of themselves the entire time. I'm going to show you something that's pretty interesting, hopefully in a couple minutes, if I don't run out of time, and just show you how cool it can be to recover information from an iPhone. Again, if you see there's voicemail, the voicemail database, that's all the voicemails. You can actually extract those. SMS, really important stuff. So what does this stuff look like? This is what it's going to look like. This is a plist. This one is the route plist. Okay, it gives you the routing functions for Google Maps as you get one location to the other. It's a plist that you can actually go through, and I'm using the plist editor that is found in developer's tools that comes with your installation disk with Apple, and it's comes with every installation of OS X. So you can actually use that, and you can see the coordinates and the actual directions that were given for going to one location to the other by pulling that information out of the plist. What else can you get? Sent and received SMS messages. This is in a SQL-like database, but as you can see, you can parse this information. I'm using an application called SQLite Browser, okay, to pull this information out. It's very simple. You just looked at the different fields and extract the information. You can even export this to a report if you want. Okay, call history. You can see all the phone calls that were made on this iPhone, extract everything. This is also a SQLite database. Very important if you're doing investigations. Want to see who was called and when. Google search history. Again, you can see what types of things were searched for using the Google search function in the iPhone. Okay, maps history. Okay, again, just seeing where locations of where people have been or what they're searching for. Lots of good information that you can find. Here's one that's really interesting. It's called dynamictext.dat. Anybody know what this is? Anybody play with this? Okay. You have? Yeah, it's a keyboard cache. And this is really scary. Every time that you use your iPhone to log into an account or do anything, if you're familiar with using iPhones, you guys see that, like, if you're trying to type something, it says, well, I think you mean this. And then you click the button and say, no, I really mean what I'm typing. Okay. It stores all this information into a cache file. It's trying to learn what you're doing. To give you a perfect example, my wife is Filipina, and a lot of times I use Tagalog, okay? And the iPhone does not recognize Tagalog. So every time I type a Tagalog word, it's going to say, no, I think you mean this. And I go, no. So if you look in my cache or if I examine my cache, there's tons of Tagalog information. Well, guess what else is in there? What is not usually a typical type of standard word? Passwords. Yeah, you're going to find passwords in here. So this is really cool. A lot of times when we're doing investigations, if somebody's got like their Mac file vaulted and we're looking for passwords, if we happen to grab everything in the house and grab the iPhone too, we can get this information. We might be lucky enough to find a password in there that can be used to get into their file vault account. So this is really interesting. If you have a chance to look through this information yourself, go ahead. You'll be amazed what you'll find in there. Some of the other stuff you can do, 19 most recent searches in Safari. I'm just going to try to speed things up because I want to try to do a demo here real quick. iPhone and internet history. You can get all the internet history off of the phone. The suspended state is if you have multiple tabs open up in Safari, you can actually see the last pages that were open. It keeps that information in memory or into a file. The cookie database, and it goes on and on. It's endless. The notes, you can actually extract the notes that people have typed in there. People say, okay, what can we do if the phone is, I'm going to outsmart the police and I'm going to lock the phone down. I'm going to put a pin on it. Do you really think that's a problem in processing iPhone? It's not. Okay. On the computer itself, okay, you have what's called a lockdown file. So the computer that you have the iPhone synced with has a lockdown file. If you simply extract that folder right there off of the system that it's synced with, put it into a new account, and put it in the same location, guess what? You can sync the iPhone with that computer, even if it's locked. And you can still, some people are smiling. I can see it. Now, you can still extract the information. You can still do it. Okay, if you don't have the computer itself, there are different commercial solutions out there to bypass the thing. One of them is called Celebrate, if you're interested in that. You have to be very careful when dealing with these phones from an enterprise solution. Apple's pushing the iPhone to kind of work out, you know, and take over like the BlackBerry market. It has push technology with the 3.0 version that's coming out. It's going to be really interesting. There are remote wipes for the phone, so the administrator can actually send a message to the phone to wipe it if the phone has been lost. You can also do it yourself. It takes a very long time. The initial information that's stored in what we call allocated space will be wiped very quickly. The free space, or the rest of the phone, it takes about, I think it's like an hour for 8 gigs. So it takes approximately 2 hours to wipe an entire phone if it's a 16 gig phone. Okay? The remote wipe, if you're worried about that happening or occurring, what's one way of preventing that from happening? Stopping the connection to the actual tower so it can't receive it. So the best way to prevent that from happening, if you're worried that it's going to happen or lose data, is just to pop the SIM card out. And that's at the very, very top of the computer. Okay. I have about 5 minutes really quickly. I'm going to see if I can show this to you. Something that's really cool. I have extracted my iPhone information. Let's see if I can pull it up here. Okay, this is what it's going to look like when you actually extract the data from an iPhone. And as you can see, there's your keychain. That is what you actually use to pair it to the computer of a phone that's been locked. Okay, here's your library. Look at everything that's in here. Address book, calendar, calls. It's very simple to go through this information. Okay, I want to go into something here and show you something. Check this out. I don't know if I'm still connected to the internet or not, but let's see. If you go down to the media, these are all the pictures that were taken with the iPhone. And yeah, I'm doing a live demonstration on my phone here. So I'm going to randomly select a picture here. Hey, let's take this one. Okay. Here's a picture I've taken with my iPhone. I was driving down to Florida from Delaware, which is on the East Coast. There's a big tourist trap there called South of the Border. So I climbed on top of the big sombrero that's there and took a picture of the landscape, okay? Check out what's inside these pictures. Okay, I'm going to bring up a terminal window really quick. Let me see if I can make this a little bit smaller so I can grab it. I'm going to run a command here from the terminal called MDLS, okay? This command is known as metadata listing. It's going to show you the metadata listing or information for that particular file that you put in there. So I'm going to go ahead and say, hey, show me the information or the metadata that's associated with that particular picture. Check out what's inside this picture I took with the iPhone. What's that look like to you? Latitude and longitude. Okay, with the GPS function that's built into an iPhone, you can actually extract the latitude and longitude information off of this phone. You can also, I don't know if I'm connected to the internet still, but you can take this, copy it, put that information into Google Earth, and say, go. And we're leaving Brisbane, and we're coming to the exact location where that picture was taken. That is south of the border. So if you ever come to the United States and you want to waste your money at some tourist trap, that's where it's at. Where you actually see this little mark here, that is the giant sombrero, which I was standing on top of when I took this picture. Now, to me, that is like really cool. And just let's say if you're doing, if you're actually working investigations, a lot of people don't know that these type of images are geotagged or this type of information exists. With the Apple file system, there is so much information because of the spotlight technologies used in the file system. It crams everything, all types of metadata information, into these different files, these different Apple system files that you can actually use as investigations. And for those of you that do forensics, I can tell you right now, if you're doing strictly forensics on a Mac system on a Windows platform, you're missing a ton of data. Some stuff similar to this, okay? For instance, we deal a lot with, when I was in law enforcement, child pornography investigations. Okay, wouldn't it be nice to know who actually emailed a particular file to you or an image or a piece of contraband? Okay, you can do that. You can determine that when you do an examination of a Mac on a Mac, but you can't do that from a Windows system if you're doing forensics. Okay, just really quickly, because I know I'm running out of time here, I want to go ahead and just give you a couple things that you might want to look at. Our company has developed an imaging and acquisition disk. It's free. So if you're interested in actually something to image a computer, whether it's a Mac or whether it's a PC, you're more than welcome to go get this. You can get it from raptorforensics.com, or there's a link to it off of our website. If you have any questions or information, or questions, I'm sorry we're running out of time. I don't know if I have enough time to answer them. But I'll remain in the back of the room. If you have any questions for me or is there anything I can assist you with, we do more than just iPhones. We do all kinds of different training. I'm actually here for the last 2 days of the course teaching a Mac forensics course. It's a full 5-day course. We shrunk it down to 2, trying to give you all the best tidbits of it, and that's going to be taught later on Thursday and Friday. If you have any questions about that or anything else I can help you with, feel free to ask us. Like I said, I'll remain in the back of the room, and thank you for your time. We'll be right back.